you how Washington beats the Giants on Sunday. Here is the first Washington wins if, my keys to a win Sunday. Said this forever, that week ones are really difficult. You don't get any sense, truly, of what a team is going to be from the offseason or from the summer. What you do have to rely on is what you saw last year. And for us last year, it was like, we have no idea what we're going to see. We've got a new coaching staff. We've got a massive roster overhaul. Even though I think some of us were very optimistic about the quarterback, no one saw what the quarterback would become in his first season, but he didn't start off that way. You know, he rushed 16 times for 88 yards. His eyes came off down the field as he was moving around. It was his first NFL game. I'll tell you who had a great second NFL game for the Giants last year was Malik Nabers until the very end. Week ones are difficult. I don't take seriously the results from week one. I think most coaches would tell you it takes several games to figure out what you really are, but when you only play 17, they all matter significantly. So here's my first stab at keys to a win. I'm harping on last year. Number one, this was number one probably in, I don't know, of the regular season games, 10 of the 17 regular season games. Washington wins if they stop the run. We will see, you know, in Sunday's opener, at least signs if they have improved defensively against the run. They got hurt on the edges last year, more so than anything else, but it wasn't just that exclusively. Teams are going to try to keep Jaden and Washington's offense off the field by staying on the field. The number one key for the Giants, if you're up in New York doing this show today, is you got to keep possession of the football. You've got to make your best defense be your offense. And the Giants have a good defense. They have an excellent defense. But the best defense against Washington will be the opposing offense, holding onto the football, shortening the game, lowering the possession count. Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, and that Giant O-line versus Kinlaw, Payne, Wise, Armstrong, Luvu, Wagner. That's a huge key to Sunday. Can they stop the run without adding to the box consistently? Brian Daboll is a respected offensive coach and play caller. You know, Daboll, I went back and looked at this last year in the two games against Washington and against Joe Witt Jr.'s defense. The Giants were 10 for 19 on third downs. That's really good. They were 3 for 4 on fourth downs against Washington. They stayed on the field against Washington's defense. By the way, their only miss on fourth down was in week two when Malik Nabers dropped that fourth and five. The Giants, I am expecting, will be an aggressive team on Sunday. They will be a four-down team a lot of the time on Sunday. There's no reason they shouldn't be. You know, it is going to be painful to punt against Washington this year, knowing that the chances of getting Jaden and the offense off the field when they get onto the field are even money at best. They're going to score 45% of the time on their drives. That's a high rate, 50% of the time. Who knows? They didn't punt in week two against the Giants last year. Now, unfortunately, they only kicked field goals. But the Giants are going to be a four-down team Sunday. They're going to try to keep the football at any cost, and a big part of it will be testing Washington's ability to stop the run. Did they improve in that area? We get our first legitimate, nothing we've seen up until Sunday matters. We'll get our first legitimate opportunity to see if the additions in the offseason, if maybe scheme-related stuff matters. By the way, that dovetails into number two. Number two is, it's something that Dan Quinn said with me last week, and you've heard him harp on this. They have got to tackle better than they tackled last year. They have to be a much better tackling team this year in terms of consistency. You know, that was something he talked about, that they were in position. They didn't get guys to the ground. They got to get guys to the ground. Tackling is a key to Sunday's game if they're going to win. Number three, get Russell Wilson off his mark. Wilson's not the same quarterback that he was several years ago. He's not the playmaker that he once was, the off-schedule quarterback. Really, that's all he was in Seattle. His biggest plays were off-schedule because he actually, at his height, had a difficult time in the pocket delivering consistently. Pressure to get him off his mark, to get him out of his rhythm, won't end well for him or the Giant offense. Andrew Thomas's availability will be huge for them, their starting tackle. But regardless of whether or not he plays, passing downs in particular, you've got to get Russell Wilson to look to 2 and 3 off his mark, and then he struggles. Number four, by the way, I'm focused on defense right now. I just don't have a lot of concerns offensively against a very good defensive team, mind you. Number four, Malik Nabers. I don't know what the answer is, but they've got to have an answer to one of the true superstar talents in the game. 109 catches as a rookie NFL record. 109 with DeVito and, I mean, Daniel Jones and Drew Locke, and I'm missing somebody. I mean, bad quarterback play, and yet this dude and the separation he got was good enough for 109 receptions in his rookie year. So how do you combat a talent like Malik Nabers? That's a good question. I just know that they can't let him take the game over. He is one of those receivers capable of taking over a game and dominating a football game. Can't let him do that. I don't have the answer because I haven't seen what Lattimore looks like in a real game this year. I've never seen Trey Amos in a real NFL game. It's going to be interesting. We're going to learn a lot because they've got a superstar receiver on the other side of the field in this opener about how Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn, what they think about their secondary. Is Lattimore given star coverage on Malik Nabers, or do they move Lattimore, put Amos on him, and give him help, and give him bracket coverage, and double Malik Nabers? Maybe Amos is who some people have said he is, and they give Amos the star coverage. That's going to be a very interesting thing to watch. What does Washington do defensively against Malik Nabers? It'll give us great insight as to what they think about their cornerback room. Number five on Washington wins if. This is, you know, on the other side of the football. Dexter Lawrence can wreck a game. He's that good. Abdul Carter apparently looks the part. We'll see him in a real game for the first time. We'll see him against the tackles Washington puts out there. And they've got a really good one in Tunsil if that ends up being a matchup. But you've got two talents defensively. Giants are really good defensively. Talent-wise, they really are. This is going to be what, if the Giants end up being better than people think they'll be this year, and I'm one of those people who believes that, it's going to be more likely than not that they're outstanding on defense and that Abdul Carter is the real deal. I mean, the combination of Carter outside and Lawrence inside, that is something you have to account for week in and week out. I think Washington does have in their quarterback, you know, a get out of jail cheat code, you know, for when you aren't able to protect him. But you can't let Lawrence and Abdul Carter be super disruptive in this game. Next up, I think takeaways are going to be a big number to look at the end of the year, and it'll probably be the difference between 10-7 wild card and 11-6, 12-5 division title. You know, I pointed this out last week, but only six teams had fewer takeaways last year than Washington. None of those teams were playoff teams. Only one team had as many or as few takeaways as Washington had, 17, and made the playoffs. That was Baltimore. What did both teams have in common? Cheat codes at quarterback. Every other team that made the postseason, the other 12 teams, averaged 26 takeaways for the year. Washington's got to do what we thought they would do, because that's what Quinn and Witt Jr. and Dallas's defense sort of thrived on, and that is takeaways. Quinn talked about tackling and takeaways. By the way, good tackling sometimes increases the possibility of takeaways. But this is going to be, I think, the difference this year, ultimately, in how we view the defense and the team's final record in the position that they're put in going into the postseason. Are they a 10-7 wild card needing to win 3 road games to get to the Super Bowl again? Or were they on the 28-29 takeaway bus, you know, plus double-digit turnover margin, and did they go 12-5 or 13-4, and they're going to be hosting at least one game, if not two? That, by the way, Sunday will be huge, because to me, even in the takeaway category, in the turnover margin category, Washington wins a tight game plus anything, and they probably win in a double-digit game, and minus, and the Giants have a chance. That's kind of what I have. I have a few other notes. You know, I'm interested to see if this year, from a return standpoint, they can flip the field a few more times than they did last year. I think special teams, they were excellent in covering kicks, with the exception of the Dallas game at home. Kevontae Turpin, you know, with the exception of that game, they were excellent. You know, Quinn talked all last season and even in the offseason about how they wanted to be a physical team, and that's why they kicked and let their kick coverage team set the tone in these football games. It'll be interesting to see where they are on the return front. Coverage-wise, outstanding last year. Returns, what is Jalen Lane as a returner? There were people out there that were super excited that Jalen Lane was available, not because they thought he would be a great addition to the wide receiver room. There was some hope there, but on day one, that he would be a game changer as a punt returner. We'll see on Sunday if that is the case. All right, we'll have predictions on this game later on in the show. But there is your first Washington wins if of the season. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. It is a no bye week in week one. Nobody's off. Everybody's playing 16 games. We've already got one in the books. Max and I will go through the rest of them when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. All right. Every Friday, we will go through the NFL card. All 32 teams, of course, are playing on opening weekend. We saw game one last night. The 106th NFL season kicked off with the Eagles holding on for a 24-20 win over Dallas. Tonight, we get Kansas City and the Chargers. Before we go through some of these games, I will have my smell test picks in about an hour. Ben Standing, by the way, will join us at 12. So the NFL, we talked about this forever. It's designed for every team to believe that it has a chance heading into the season opener. And that is not an exaggeration, because it's delivered many times over. Since 1990, all right, and this is now a streak of 35 consecutive seasons after last year, at least 4 teams that qualified for the playoffs were not in the postseason the year before. The 4 new playoff teams last year were Denver, Washington, the Chargers, and Minnesota. In 26 of the last 29 NFL seasons, from 96 through 2024, at least one team has made the playoffs the season following finishing last in their division. Last year, the Chargers, Vikings, and Washington, 3 teams, accomplished that feat. Last place to the postseason. In 6 consecutive years, from 2019 through 2024, and in 21 of the past 23 seasons, a team that chose in the top 5 of the NFL draft qualified for the postseason. Washington, of course, accomplished that feat last year after selecting Jaden Daniels number 2 overall. The Chargers did it as well. They selected Joe Alt at number 5 overall. Oftentimes, it's not the massive surprise that that number and those stats would indicate, because the team was bad the year before because it had a lot of injuries. You know, the quarterback was out, and therefore it finished in last place, or it finished out of the postseason. But a lot of the times, it's just a shocker. You know, last year, Washington was a shocker. The year before that, Houston was a shocker. We're going to get one of those. We're going to get one of those this year. It's just hard to predict which one. Several new quarterbacks this year under center, you know, taking it, I guess, alphabetically. Atlanta has Michael Penix Jr. In for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins did not get traded. He is the backup to Michael Penix Jr. in Cleveland. Joe Flacco is back. He's going to start in Indy. Daniel Jones beat out Anthony Richardson. In Vegas, Geno Smith, after signing as a free agent, is the Raiders starter. In Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy, who was picked in the top 10 in the 24 draft, but got injured and didn't play as a rookie, will start on Monday night for the Vikings. Drake May will start because he did not start week one last year. Jacoby Brissett was the starter for the Patriots week one last year, and they went into Cincinnati and won. New Orleans is going to start Spencer Rattler. The Giants are starting Russell Wilson. The Jets are starting Justin Fields. Pittsburgh starting Aaron Rodgers. Seattle is starting Sam Darnold, and Tennessee will start Cam Ward. 12 teams have a different starting quarterback in week one. That effort, year in and year out, to find the guy is always going to be the number one priority for teams that don't have that guy. And fortunately, for the first time in a long time, we don't have to worry about that. All right. Last night, we saw the kickoff game go Philadelphia's way. Hell of a game. We talked about it in the opening of the show. CeeDee Lamb, 2 drops for sure, a third that was certainly catchable. If you're an elite receiver, you got to pull that in. The fumble by Miles Sanders, obviously self-inflicted damage for the Cowboys in a game that was right there for them to win. And the big, you know, storyline heading is Jalen Carter spitting before the first play from scrimmage and getting tossed from that football game. Tonight we get the Brazil game. This will be the last Friday night game in week one for a while, because as I described the other day, the 1961 provision, you know, Communications Act, essentially prohibits the NFL from playing starting on the second Friday of September. Well, this is the first Friday of September, and last year was the first Friday of September, but next year, with Labor Day being later, the first football Friday will be the second Friday, and they won't be able to play Friday football. So enjoy the 2-year run last year in Brazil with the Packers and the Eagles, and tonight, 8 o'clock kick between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite in this game. The total is 46.5. The referee is Carl Cheffers. The game kicks at 8, not at 8:15, not at 8:20. It's on YouTube. Rich Eisen, Kurt Warner, Stacy Dales will be on the field for this one. The Chiefs have won 7 straight against the Chargers, with each of the last 3 including game-winning or go-ahead scores in the final 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. They have played some tight games, the Chiefs and the Chargers have. You know, starting the season, Cowboys, Eagles, Chargers, Chiefs, Packers, Chargers, Chiefs, Packers, Lions. There are some big divisional matchups with teams expected to fight it out for divisions. Not last night necessarily, but tonight. So a big game. I kind of like the Chiefs tonight. Week one, again, always hard. But Andy Reid has 17 wins in season opening games. That's the most among active head coaches, and they are 9 out of their last 10 in week one. You give Andy Reid plenty of time to prepare, his team is ready. You could say the same thing about Jim Harbaugh. In the NFL as a head coach, he is 5-0 in season opening games. I kind of would lean Chiefs to win this game and to cover, but I can tell you now it's not going to be a smell test selection. We go to Sunday, 1 o'clock window, Tampa at Atlanta. Man, did they play 2 football games last year. They played a Thursday night game that went to overtime. Cousins threw for over 500 yards in that game. Atlanta swept Tampa last year, but then things started to fall apart. Tampa at the end of last year had issues on defense. They are healthy defensively. Max has Tampa as the 1 seed in the NFC. I have them winning the division as well. I think it's a well-coached team. Baker Mayfield, 41 touchdown passes last year, a career high. 3rd in pass yards last year, a career high. 4th in QBR at 106.8, in passer rating at 106.8. He had a hell of a season. Bucky Irving was great. He led all rookies in scrimmage yards last year. By the way, Rashad White's not bad. You mentioned yesterday, Mac, Igbuka out of Ohio State. Evans, you know, still there. Godwin, you know, their defense should be awesome. I'm a big Michael Penix Jr. fan. He played pretty well in Washington in a game that they had to have too late in the season. That was the game that would have kept them in the playoff hunt. I blame, if I'm a Falcons fan, I blame their head coach for that one. Raheem Morris butchered the clock multiple times in that game. Referee is Lan Clark. This is an NBA. This is a Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma game on Fox on Sunday. Also at 1 o'clock, how about Cincinnati at Cleveland? A lot of talk about Cincinnati, for sure. The Bengals last year, a 9-8 football team with Joe Burrow having a near MVP season. Some believe that it was 4,918 passing yards, 43 touchdown passes. Their defense was horrendous. They get Trey Hendrickson in the fold for this year. The Shamar Stewart, you know, selection doesn't look like it's going to work out, at least early in the season. You know, Cam Taylor Britt led the team last year in pass defense, but that's the story of Cincinnati's 2025 season. Do they get modest improvement on defense so that they can win that 10th or 11th game? Remember, their losses last year were all nail biters that could have gone either way. They open up with Cleveland, and this is a Browns team that with Flacco a couple of years ago, in that it's really just a year and a half ago, won 5 of their final 6 and made the playoffs. He can still sling it. Their issue, I think, will be the surrounding and supporting cast. Jerry Judy's on the team. The real target will be David Njoku, the tight end. Of course, they've got Myles Garrett defensively, Denzel Ward, Grant Delpit on defense. This one right now is a stinky line, to be honest with you, with Cincinnati just a 5-point favorite at Cleveland in the opener. Adrian Hill is your referee. Kevin Kugler, Daryl Moose Johnston on the Fox coverage. Also at 1 o'clock, Dolphins and Colts from Lucas Oil Stadium. A lot of people down on the Dolphins right now. A lot of the, you know, in locker room stuff with Tariq Hill. Can they stay healthy? You know, what's the real feeling right now on the coaching staff? We'll see. They play an indie team that, believe it or not, in this opener is only a 1-point underdog, a team with one of the lower over-under totals of the season. They're going to go with Daniel Jones. They've got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. They've got a healthy Michael Pittman and Josh Downs and Alec Pierce. They've got some weapons defensively. DeForest Buckner's still over there. Quiddy Pay is still over there. They shouldn't be terrible if Daniel Jones can play much better than he has. Look, I thought last time we saw Daniel Jones, he looked absolutely shot. He looked mentally shot. He looked scared. It was a bad situation for him. Is it a breath of fresh air and a new life? He showed us what he was capable of during that playoff season, but they need that and more to make any sort of run. But don't be surprised if Indy plays Miami tough. Referee is Brad Allen. Kickoffs at 1, CBS, Andrew Catalan, and Charles Davis. Carolina's an interesting team. They're at Jacksonville in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday. I don't know if there was a bigger turnaround than Bryce Young when he got that second opportunity last year. Really came on at the end. He's done that every stage of his football career. People say in high school, then obviously in college. Is he capable of looking like a number one overall? I have a feeling Carolina, with their coaching staff and Bryce Young, are going to be much improved. I love Chuba Hubbard. I think they made a really good addition in Rico Dowdle. I was not a big Tet McMillan guy, the Arizona wide receiver. We'll see. He's a big target. No doubt about that. Yeah, they're an interesting team. So is Jacksonville. You know, new coach in Liam Cohen. And we'll see whether or not, you know, the young, you know, general manager, the young coach, can get Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter to really step up in a division that always seems winnable. 1 o'clock kick. Alex Moore is your head referee. Chris Myers, Mark Schlereth for Fox on the call. How about Raiders at Patriots, 1 o'clock? A lot of people in love with Drake May and Mike Vrabel. I'm a big Vrabel fan. I think he gets more out of less as much as anybody does. They've added Travion Henderson. They've added Stephon Diggs. They've added Harold Landry. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's going to come down to May. He's a talent, no doubt. Does he put it together in year two? Who knows? Meantime, Pete Carroll in his first game as the head coach of the Raiders, Geno Smith, and the rookie Ashton Jeanty selected number 6 overall. Second highest selected running back by the Raiders ever. They selected Darren McFadden back in 2008. They also added Raheem Mostert, and Brock Bowers had one of the great rookie seasons of all time by a tight end. By the way, Amari Cooper, he retired yesterday, right, Max? Did I see that?
Yeah,
they added him this week or last week, and then he promptly retired. I think that's true.
It is, yeah. Camp, he just one bill for camp. Wasn't interested after they signed him.
Amari Cooper hasn't looked interested in a while.
Yeah. I think he drove from like Cleveland to Buffalo in the middle of the night, and then he got to Buffalo and things were disappointing. So, I mean, I think he's just done, ready to get out, ready to take his money and then invest it elsewhere.
Max Crosby always looks interested, and that's the team that Jeremy Chinn went to, the Raiders. In the opener between the Raiders and the Patriots, that game is in Foxborough, and currently New England is a 2.5-point favorite. Spiro Dedes, Adam Archuleta. Archuleta's good on CBS. One of the teams that I think you could make the case doesn't have any hope in 2025, the New Orleans Saints. Kellen Moore in his first year, he's going to start Spencer Rattler. We saw him last year. They still have Alvin Kamara. They still have Chris Olave. They get Rashid Shaheed back after his injury. He can take the top off for sure. You know, Cam Jordan's still on the other side of the field along with DeMario Davis, but the Saints are one of those teams you look at and you think they should stink. We'll see about, you know, Jonathan Gannon and Kyler Murray and the mix in Arizona. They've got some talent around Murray, Connor McBride, Marvin Harrison Jr. They added Josh Sweat, remember, in the offseason from Philadelphia. CBS, 1 o'clock, Tom McCarthy, Ross Tucker on the call. A game that will get a lot of attention, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers visiting the Meadowlands to face the New York Jets. The Jets with Aaron Glenn in their first game, and Aaron Rodgers taking the helm with Pittsburgh. This is a short line. It reeks a little bit. The Jets are going to throw Justin Fields out there with Breece Hall. Don't be surprised if Braylon Allen, the big Wisconsin running back, who was a rookie last year, ends up having a massive year for the Jets. But all eyes will be on Rodgers and DK Metcalf, and are the Steelers better offensively, because there is great belief in that defense, which, let's not forget, added Jalen Ramsey to the mix. Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt on the coverage for CBS, head referee in this one, Bill Vinovich. That's a 1 o'clock game. We know where our game stands. We'll get to the 4 o'clock window when we come back. All of our discussion of the NFL all season long, brought to you by Paramount. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a juicy week one matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right, my name is Max Ames. It is Friday, September 5th, and here is what's happening. The Eagles, they beat the Cowboys last night in the inaugural game of the NFL season. Jalen Carter thrown out of the game for the first play of scrimmage for the spitting on Dak Prescott. Nearly perfect offensive performance in the first half that really kind of slowed down in the second, including a rain delay that did not help things. A few key drops from CeeDee Lamb down the stretch. The Eagles win 24-20. Christian McCaffrey has been added to the San Francisco 49ers injury report with a calf injury. Doesn't appear to be entering the season as healthy as we first thought. My apologies to all the Christian McCaffrey heads in fantasy land. The Nats, they take on the Cubs in an afternoon weekend series from Wrigley Field. Jake Irvin on the bump versus Javier Assad. First pitch at 2:20 on the Fan. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 1:50. Over on 106.7 The Fan. Maryland football, they play tonight. They will take on Northern Illinois in College Park. Kickoff is at 7:30. Pregame at 6:30 right here on the Team 980 following Burgundy Gold today with Linnell Willingham. Tonight, the Chargers, they take on the Chiefs live from Brazil at 8 o'clock. That'll be on YouTube for free. Speaking of YouTube, this update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Den's office during football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
All right, we can continue here to go around the NFL. Ben Standy coming up at 12. My smell test picks about 12:25-ish. A lot of games on the board this weekend. All right, we get to the 4 o'clock window. 4:05 kick in Mile High. It's the Broncos after a playoff season last year. Sean Payton, Bo Nix and company against Cam Ward in his opener for the Tennessee Titans. Look, it may take time. I'm a Cam Ward guy. I actually really believe in him. Not like I believed in Jaden or some of the quarterbacks from 2024, but I have a feeling he will be good at some point. They still have some players. You know, they got Calvin Ridley on offense. They got Tyler Lockett on offense. They've got the former Terp tight end, Chig Okonkwo, who really is excellent after the catch in particular. Defensively, you know, there's still Jeffrey Simmons over there. Denver, well-coached squad. You know, offensively, we'll see what they do, you know, with J.K. Dobbins in the backfield, along with, you know, the McLaughlin kid. You got Mims, you got Engram, you got Cortland Sutton. For them, Sutton staying healthy will be big. They were excellent defensively. Denver, the biggest favorite on the NFL Week 1 card. They are -8.5. It's a 4:05 kick on Fox. Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez on the call. 4:05 in Seattle for the 49ers and the Seahawks. This will be a team to watch for sure. The 49ers, fully healthy, should absolutely be a playoff contending team. If not, you know, a high-seeded playoff contending team. But they've got to keep their A players healthy, and that starts on offense with Christian McCaffrey. He's got to play the majority of games. They were obviously concerned enough where they traded a pick for Brian Robinson Jr. to be his primary backup. But when you got Kittle and McCaffrey and Trent Williams and a guy like Juwan Jennings coming off an injury, and then on defense, Warner and Bosa and company, they've got the talent, they do, to win 12, 13 games. And the schedule, at least the way it looks, one of the easiest on paper heading into the season. Sam Darnold will make his debut for the Seahawks. They've got some running backs, man, and Kenneth Walker III and Zach Charbonnet. They got, you know, a rising star receiver in Smith Njigba. They added DeMarcus Lawrence, remember, from Dallas, coming off that injury last year, and they've got Devin Witherspoon, who really played very well last year at corner. Seattle and San Francisco, the 49ers are 3-point favorites on the road there. Next up in that window, we go to the 4:25 highlighted game on CBS, where Nance and Romo will be. 4:25 Detroit at Lambeau to take on the Packers. Referee in the game, Cleet Blakeman. And look, the Lions have a new offensive coordinator. They have a new defensive coordinator. They still have Dan Campbell. They still have Jared Goff and Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Sam Laporta. They'll get Aiden Hutchinson back. They had to institute during training camp the Hutch rule, which meant that the quarterback and the offense could continue the play even after Hutchinson got to the quarterback because he was so disruptive. Brian Branch became a star last year. The Lions have it all on the field healthy. We'll see what the loss of Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn mean. The Packers, obviously, with the addition of Micah Parsons. I'm a Jordan Love guy. A little bit of a step back season last year, but with Jacobs and the new receiver that they're raving about, Matthew Golden, the Packers, to me, are a legitimate NFC champion chip contender, and certainly a contender in what is a tough and loaded NFC North. The other 4:25 game is a good one. Houston and the Rams at SoFi. Referee Craig Rolstad on the call, Kevin Harlan and Trent Green on CBS. The question for the Rams entering this season is Matthew Stafford. If Stafford is upright and healthy for 17, the Rams are loaded. They've got two high-level, very good to beyond very good receivers in Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. They signed Kyren Williams to a contract extension. He's great, and they've got a budding star, two of them on defense with Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, two rookies from a year ago. The Rams, I think, are a legitimate NFC championship contender, but it comes down to, of course, Matthew Stafford. The backup is Jimmy Garoppolo, and I mention that because Garoppolo has played in this offense, you know, first for Kyle Shanahan and now for Sean McVay. And let's face it, the 49ers, with a lot of talent around Garoppolo, they won a lot of games. Could they do that in LA if Garoppolo's got to play some games this year? They probably could. Are they going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Garoppolo more so than with Stafford? No, of course not. We get Houston here with D'Amico Ryan's already in his third year. Same with C.J. Stroud. Nico Collins is a star. They added Christian Kirk. That defense with Will Anderson last year and Danielle Hunter, good God, it was nasty at times. They won a playoff game. Everybody talked about the step-back season, 10-7, and they won a playoff game. And they were in that divisional round game at Arrowhead, a game that they lost. This should be, I think, a very interesting season opening game and a close game at that. I didn't mention the point spread in the Green Bay game. The Packers are 2.5-point favorites over the Lions, and the Rams are 3-point favorites over the Texans. We go to Sunday Night Football. What a Sunday night game this is. Baltimore and Buffalo rematch of the divisional round playoff game a year ago. Lamar Jackson certainly had a case for MVP, as did Joe Burrow, but Josh Allen won it. Jackson became the first player in NFL history last year with 4,000-plus pass yards and 40-plus touchdowns and fewer than 5 interceptions. Insane, right? 4,172 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 4 picks, not to mention the rushing yards. Derrick Henry's back. Zay Flowers is back. Rashad Bateman's back. They have added to their defense with Jair Alexander. They've got an absolute stud star in Kyle Hamilton. Isaiah Likely is out, I think, of this opener. The Ravens are favored in this game on Sunday night. They're a one-point favorite on the road at Buffalo. I don't know how many games Buffalo is going to be an underdog at home. The answer would have been going into this season before I saw this point spread, zero. But the odds makers favor the Ravens on the road. It's not like Josh Allen is out. He's healthy. James Cook got signed. This should be a better team, I think, defensively. They added Joey Bosa. This could be a preview of an AFC Championship game matchup. Buffalo's crowd will be into it. Sunday Night Football will be insane with, of course, last night's group, Tarico Collinsworth, Melissa Stark on the call on NBC. Referee for that game is John Hussey. Monday Night Football to finish up week one. You get J.J. McCarthy's debut against Ben Johnson in his first game as a head coach, and we'll see if Caleb Williams has made significant progress. God, they have a good supporting cast in Chicago around that rookie quarterback with DJ Moore and Adunze. They added Luther Burden. They added Colston Loveland. They've got DeAndre Swift. Defensively, Grady Jarrett makes his Chicago debut at, 31, 32 years old. Montez Sweat is still there. Tremaine Edwards still there. Jalen Johnson, one of the best corners in the league. The Bears have talent. It's going to come down to Ben Johnson. Can he get Caleb Williams to play at the level that the Bears were convinced he would play at when they selected him? Minnesota 14-3 last year with Sam Darnold. Unbelievable Brian Flores coach defense last year. And Kevin O'Connell's genius with the quarterbacks, man. He did a phenomenal job with a guy that just doesn't process very quickly in Sam Darnold. It caught up to them at the very end, the season ender against Detroit and then the playoff game against the Rams. McCarthy, making his debut after the injury last year. He's got Aaron Jones, Jefferson. They've had some injuries during the summer at wide receiver. Jordan Addison is suspended for the first few games. They added Adam Thielen back to their offensive roster, and they've got Hockenson back. Van Ginkle's one of the best. Greenard's one of the best. Remember, John Allen now in Minnesota, along with Javon Hargrave. They should be really good defensively, and it'll come down to whether or not J.J. McCarthy is the real deal. I don't see Minnesota winning 14 again. I didn't have them in my NFC playoffs. The game is Monday Night Football. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on ESPN. 8:15 kick Monday night. The referees is Alan Eck. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, a big storyline here early in the season. If it works, the Bears have some talent, and they should be a factor in that division. If Caleb Williams isn't coach-upable, then the Bears are... they'll probably struggle. The Monday night point spread is Minnesota -1 in that Monday night game. All right, there you go. NFL football. We're going to do that on Fridays. We'll start to pick games as well, but the smell test is coming up in about 25 minutes after Ben Standig joins us next.